better secure the border and to punish employers who choose to hire illegal immigrants. We are a generous and welcoming people here in the United States, but those who enter the country illegally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law, and they are showing disregard for those who are following the law. We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked, and circumventing the line of people who are waiting patiently, diligently, and lawfully to become immigrants.
2005, Barack Hussein Obama, who says exactly what our president, Donald Trump, says today. In 2005, 13 years ago, back before he was president, when he was a senator, and he was setting the stage for a future presidency, he said what he knew he had to say in order to win the approval of the people. If you dig, if you look, you will find that this is true of every Democrat before a certain time in recent history, that all of them said the same thing. Hillary Clinton said exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Dianne Feinstein said essentially the same thing.
I think we can enforce our borders. I think we should enforce our borders. To have a situation where 40% of the babies born on Medicaid in California today are born of illegal immigrants creates a very real problem for the state, which is in deficit.
Look, of course you can enforce the borders.
Let me finish.
I agree.
To have 17% of our prison population at a cost of $300 million a year be illegal immigrants who come here and commit felonies. That's not what this nation is all about.
Of course.
And the list goes on and on. Politician after politician, when it's important for them to get votes, have always stood for enforcing our borders. Because the American people know this is wise. The American people know this is appropriate. It's proper. The American people are in favor of enforcing our borders. They're also in favor of not making you a citizen just because your illegal parents came across the border to give birth to you. And that's an issue that's in the news, which we will get to very, very shortly. Hello, Mark Congleton here. Welcome to The Daily Perspective. This is a little daily podcast that I do as an offshoot of The Mark and Max Show. It is basically just little old me doing my thing and telling you what I think about the issues of the day. And hopefully you're enjoying it so far. If you are, please let us know. Let me know. Once again, I don't have a frog in my pocket. Let me know. You can email me, mark@markcongleton.com. Old habits almost kicked in. I almost gave the old email address. mark@markcongleton.com. You can go to the website, markcongleton.com. You can find a link on the Mark and Max Show website, markandmaxshow.com, if you'd like to do it that way. You can also follow the show on social media. Just go look for The Daily Perspective on Facebook and Twitter. And if you'd like to subscribe to the show, you can have it hand-delivered by bots directly to your inbox every day. It's available in the iTunes music store and in the Google Play music store. That's not altogether true, I found out this morning. I've been telling you it was available in the Google Play store, but you have to have the Google Podcast app in order for that to work. And so if you're an Android user and you have the Google Podcast app, then look up the show. Look for me. Look for my name. If you look up The Daily Perspective, this is what I learned this morning. If you look up The Daily Perspective, you won't find it. It's just not there. But if you look for me, you look for Mark Congleton, bing, it pops right up. So I'm not sure why it searches that way. There are a lot of daily podcasts from various information organizations, various groups, and even amongst that list, this one doesn't show up. I'll have to ask Google about that. Maybe it's because it's conservative content. They don't want to list it that way. But if you search my name, then it comes up, Mark Congleton. Search for that, and you'll find the Daily Perspective podcast in the Google Podcast Store, which is different than Google Play, the Google Music Store, which I, when you search online for how to find a podcast, it tells you to go to the Google Music Store and search. And there, apparently at one point in the past, it's sometime in the past, you could actually do that. You can't do that anymore. You don't get podcasts listed in the Google Play in the Music Store anymore. So anyway, this was just my morning. This was me going, why? They emailed me. They told me it was there. What's going on? And I finally figured it out. And so there you have it. You have to have the podcast to find you have to have the podcast app to find my podcast. And I think probably that they did that because iTunes did the same thing. They split podcasts off of their music store and made it a separate app. And so Google said, ooh, that's a good idea. So they did the same thing. There we have it. Now, back to things at hand. The Department of Defense is sending troops to harden the southern border. And according to an article in IJR.com, the Independent Journal Review, in a press conference at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection headquarters in Washington, D.C., officials from the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Defense explained what is being sent to the southern border in response to migrant caravans. U.S. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Kevin McAleenan, wow, good for you, buddy, and General Terrence O'Shaughnessy, Terrence O'Shaughnessy, commander of a U.S. Northern Command, laid out the operation the U.S. service members will partake in and what they will be doing. O'Shaughnessy stated the new deployment of troops will augment the troops that are already deployed for Operation Guardian Support. The new deployment is operating under Operation Faithful Patriot, which will include 5,200 soldiers, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, 3 combat engineer battalions, 3 medium lift helicopter companies, 3 AC-130s, 1 C-17, military police units, and medical units. Now you're thinking, are they going to hurt migrants? No. No, they deploy medical units anytime they go anywhere. So please. And the military police units, same thing. You got guys stationed anywhere, they send the military police. It's just the way it goes because in their off time, they like to go have a few beers and forget they're supposed to be nice people. He said, as we sit right here today, we have about 800 soldiers that are on the way to Texas right now. They're coming from Fort Campbell. They're coming from Fort Knox. They're moving closer to the border. He further noted that the troops will be deployed with weapons. They will work in support of the Border Patrol, and will be working to harden the U.S.-Mexico border first at Texas, then Arizona, and then California. The main difference between this deployment and the deployment of troops in April is that this month's deployment is made up of active duty soldiers as opposed to National Guardsmen. Did you know that what we have on the border before was the National Guard? But now it's active duty guys. These are soldiers going to the border. In April, Dana White, the chief Pentagon spokesperson, said Secretary of Defense James Mattis agreed with Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen that border security is national security. And yes, it is. And up until recent years, most Americans agreed that border security was national security. Now, Barack Hussein Obama, in his inflammatory speech that he made to a little group of Democrat, hardline Democrat supporters, it was over the weekend, end of last week, over the weekend, he had a couple of hundred people there while Donald Trump was talking to tens of thousands of people. He had a couple of hundred hardline Democrat donors type supporters there, and he said that it was ridiculous for people to be afraid of these migrants coming to the border. He said, in essence, the Republicans are whipping up a lot of fear about these people coming to the border, like they're invaders or something. And there's nothing to fear from these people. They're not going to hurt you. Au contraire, mon frère. There are some very nasty people mixed in. That's sort of a sidebar to the whole thing, though. The fact that there are drug dealers, that there are killers, that there are ISIS operatives, that there are people from as far away as China, that these are not just Hondurans and Guatemalans looking for a better life. Sure, those people are there, but it's not just them. The main reason for objecting to this, the main reason for hardening the border, the main reason for the concern is not fear of these people. We don't have anything to fear from these people. These people are coming here, the innocent ones, I should say, the innocent and ignorant, are coming here because they believe they can get a better life. We understand that as Americans because we have opened our arms wide to people from around the world for that very reason, for as long as we have been a nation. We have welcomed people. It, however, is not our national policy to open our arms wide and say, give us your tired and your poor and your huddled masses. That's a poem that won a contest to be mounted in the base of the Statue of Liberty. Our national policy is, if you bring your uniqueness to be part of the American culture, then we welcome you here. That is our philosophy on immigration. You come here to be an American, not to be a Mexican, a Honduran, a Guatemalan, somebody from China who just happens to live here and makes a living here. You come here to be an American. That means you assimilate. That means you learn about our history. You learn about our government. You learn about how things work here. And you plug yourself in and you become part of us. That's what that means. It doesn't mean you give up your heritage. It doesn't mean you give up your culture. It doesn't mean you give up what is precious to you and your family. It means that you add that to our country to make it better than it was before. And that's what being an American is about. It's not a, this whole thing is not about us being afraid of people coming across our border. It's about the rule of law. It's about what is legal and what is not. It's about people breaking into the back door of our home and setting up residence in our basement or our attic. It's about people being here who are not supposed to be here. These people have had opportunities. They had opportunities in Honduras to go to the American consulate there, to the embassy, and to apply for asylum. The people from Guatemala could have gone to the offices there and applied for asylum. They were offered asylum in Mexico, and they, most of them, some accepted, but the vast majority of them said, no, we're going to the USA. Why? Money. That's why. They believe they can slip through the cracks, they can get jobs, and they can make money, which they will then send back home to relatives to get them enough money to come here. This is what's been happening for quite a while in America. So these people are not coming to be an American. They're not coming to bring what is great about their culture and about their heritage here to make us a better nation. These people are coming because they think they can get free health care. They think they can get a paycheck. They think they can have a better life here. And even though those things may be true, that doesn't make us a better nation. So when you hear someone like Barack Hussein Obama belittle people who are concerned about people breaking the law to come into our country, coming here for all the wrong reasons, please understand, he's playing political games. He's playing mind games. He's not being genuine. He's not being realistic. He's not being truthful. He's being political. That is his entire purpose in life today, is to be political. So keep that in mind when you hear someone say something like that. We're hardening the border because we're hardening the rule of law. Because we want people here to be part of us. We want them to be Americans. And we want them to want to be Americans. That's the difference. Because this is a great nation. Otherwise, people wouldn't want to come here. But most of these people want to come here for the wrong reasons. So what do? We lock the front door, we lock the back door, we lock the windows, and we allow the people in who are here for the right reasons. This is The Daily Perspective.
Attention, adults. You need help. Mother, are you depressed because your fabric softener has been hardening on you lately? Dad, are you despondent because your stock slipped 14 points in one day? If so, stop worrying. Help is on the way.
Help!
Help is the new Beatles movie. We're telling you about it now because it took you so long to get down to see A Hard Day's Night, the Beatles' first movie. Once you were there, you laughed just as hard as any of the critics, including your own sons and daughters. So here's our helpful hint for troubled grown-ups. See Help. It's in color. It's a United Artists release. It's got spine-tickling adventure, side-tingling laughter, and a Beatles' eye view of this much too serious world. So be the first adult in your group to seek Help from the Beatles. Then, recommend to the kids.
Thank you for listening to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. I would love to hear from you, so please feel free to contact me. You can go to my website, markcongleton.com, and click the Contact Mark button there. That'll give you an opportunity to send a message through a little form. You can also email me, mark@markcongleton.com, and you can follow on social media. Just look for The Daily Perspective. I do have my own personal Facebook and Twitter accounts under my own name, but if we've never met, you are not getting in. I'm not a social media whore. I'm just not. There's some people who are, who just they use their own things, their own names and everything for publicity and the like. I'll do that through the podcast, through the show. So just search for The Daily Perspective and you'll find me on social media that way and all things that have to do with the show. I reserve the Facebook and Twitter personal pages just for me and my friends, the people who I actually have a real day-to-day relationship with. That's who gets to me that way. And I think that's the way, just between you and me, this is just me thinking here. I believe that's the way those things should be. But there are people who feel like they have to have as many followers as humanly possible on those platforms. And I just, you know, if you want to be famous, get out and do the work and be famous. Becoming famous on social media, that's kind of sad. But I digress. Moving back along, back to immigration and what's happening. By the way, the clue here is that pretty much that everything on the show today is about immigration. Jeff Sessions got interrupted when he was speaking the other day. And it wasn't by some Antifa wacko. It wasn't by, you know, somebody screaming emotionally. Well, maybe. But it was by somebody you might not have expected. He responded yesterday to protesters who interrupted his speech to the Boston Lawyers Chapter of the Federalist Society on Religious Liberty. Sessions responded with a brief comment regarding the heckler's veto and a defense of his stance on immigration. The heckler's veto will be explained in just a couple of minutes if you don't know what this is. By the way, this is coming to us from townhall.com. One protester was a Methodist who quoted Matthew 25, verses 34 to 46, saying, quote, I was hungry, and you did not feed me. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. As he was escorted out, Sessions politely commented, well, thank you for those remarks, but I would just tell you that we do our best every day to fulfill my responsibility to enforce the laws of the United States. Another protester, who said he was a pastor, stood up and tried to talk over Sessions, saying, I thought you were here to protect religious liberty. I'm a pastor at a Baptist church, and you are escorting me out for exercising my religious freedom. That doesn't make any sense. Sessions then explained the notion of the heckler's veto, saying, thank you for all of your comments, and we're glad to hear them. But that's pretty close to what we refer to as the heckler's veto, the ability of one individual to prevent others in a proper forum to be able to express a hopefully coherent thought about a serious subject. That's the heckler's veto. The attorney general went on to defend his immigration positions, arguing that he did not believe they were contrary to his faith. He said, I don't think there's anything in scripture. I don't believe there's anything in my theology that says a secular nation state cannot have lawful laws to control immigration in its country. And that's what we're talking about. It's not immoral, not indecent, and not unkind to state what your laws are and then to set about to enforce them, in my view. I feel like that's my responsibility, and that's what I intend to do. In the past, Sessions has cited scripture in defense of U.S. immigration policy. In June, he responded to criticism of immigration policies from religious leaders, saying, my request to our religious leaders and friends who have criticized the carrying out of our laws, I ask them to speak up forcefully, strongly, to urge anyone who would come here to only come lawfully. Only come lawfully. Back to the Methodist, who quoted Matthew 25. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was a stranger and you didn't welcome me. I was naked and you did not clothe me. The words of Jesus himself. What liberals, leftists, progressive do when they choose to quote scripture, because generally speaking, they look down their noses at those who are believers and follow the example of Jesus in their lives, or try to. They apply Jesus' teachings to the laws of a nation. And Jesus never addressed the people as a nation when he was teaching things like this. He was addressing individuals. He was talking to you. He was talking to me. He was talking about what we do with the influence of our individual lives. Because if our individual lives are influencing the individual lives around us, then we change our world. Because that person who is affected will affect someone else, and then those two will go on to affect more people, and more people, and more people. So you see, Jesus was wise in teaching people to do things themselves. Take care of the needy. The Good Samaritan is a good example. This person who was not a religious leader, who was not a zealot, who was not a man of the cloth, took care of someone because it needed to be done and it was the right thing to do. In that example, he didn't go to the government and say, hey, you need to do something about that guy on the road because he needs your help. You need to pass a law. You need to start a program. You need to form an agency. He helped. And that's what God expects you and I to do. So when these people who interrupt speeches like this start quoting scripture to justify their positions, they're political. They're not spiritual. They have crossed the divide between faith and politics, and they're wandering around in the world of politics. And they're trying to apply politics to faith. And you just are not wise doing that. Because, well, it is very often misinterpreted and misapplied in this, like in this example here. And your liberal friends do this quite often. They will tell you, well, how can you call yourself a Christian? They will ask you, how can you call yourself a Christian and still let Donald Trump do this? Or how could you call yourself a Christian and vote for Donald Trump? How can you call yourself a Christian and do this or do that or allow this or allow that? Well, my relationship with God is mine. I don't have to be or conform to a larger group in order to have this relationship. I have to conform to an individual relationship in order to have this relationship. So when these people, like these Jewish religious leaders in Pittsburgh, come forward and condemn our president, keep in mind, they don't speak for God when they start crossing into politics. They speak for themselves and for a cause. And these people, like this Methodist minister and this Baptist minister, are liberals looking to rabble-rouse and cause trouble for our president and his policies. And that's all they're doing, playing political games. More coming after the break. This is The Daily Perspective. That's the comment line. 888-337-3139. Feel free to give me a buzz. Tell me what you're thinking about. It is a voicemail service, so you just listen for the tone and drop the thoughts right there. Okay? All right. You know, I was actually toying with going live this morning. Actually got into the studio and started setting things up. And I had a technical issue, which is really weird because I did exactly what I did the last time I was doing testing. Because I did last week. I spent some time working on the live link so that this could be live. Because I really, really, really what I want to do is I want to record these podcasts. I want to record them live. And that would also give people who want to listen live an opportunity to listen as it happens. And then we could play games with Facebook and Twitter, and you could leave comments and the like. You know, I could put a post up on Twitter or on Facebook, and either one, and you just drop into the comments and ask questions. And that would be a lot of fun that way. But the thing is that if I can't make the connection work, this drives me nuts because I'm the tech idiot. I'm the tech nerd here. And I got it to work the other day. It worked just fine because it's a very simple setup. You plug an audio line in, and I tested everything and plugged the headphones into the web stream connection, and it works just fine. But if you were listening to the web stream, all that happens is you get silence. So something is amiss, and I have to work on that today. But keep watching social media, and if you see a post from me saying, hey, we're going to go live, then make sure to be around your web browser or the app on your mobile phone that you installed for the Mark and Mac Show, and you will hear The Daily Perspective live at 8 a.m. Central. Not guaranteeing tomorrow morning, but we're going to try. And if that does happen, I will post stuff in the in-between, telling you how we're going to do it and everything, so you'll know what to do. Okay? All right. Now, moving back into the things that are. And this one is going to make people pop their corks. This is something that President Trump is planning on doing that your liberal friends are going to lose their cookies over. This is coming to us from the Federalist Papers. .org, great website for conservative news. They're saying that Axios is reporting that President Trump plans to sign an order ending birthright citizenship. He told Axios on HBO that he has run the idea of ending birthright citizenship by his counsel and plans to proceed with this highly controversial move, which certainly will face legal challenges. And rather than me telling you much more about it, I'll go back and rehash a couple of things. Let's actually listen to what he had to say about the matter right here.
On immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution.
With an executive order.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment.
Right. 14th Amendment.
You don't.
You don't.
Number one, you don't need that. Number two,
I mean, that's in dispute.
You could definitely
that's very much in dispute.
Well, you can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order. Now, how ridiculous. We're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all of those benefits. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it has to end.
Have you talked about that with counsel?
Yeah. I have.
So where in the process?
It's in the process. It'll happen. With an executive order. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly
a very interesting
question.
I didn't think anybody but knew that but me. I thought I was the only one. Jonathan,
I thought a good guess. Good
I'm
guess.
Impressed.
So, he's looking at eliminating anchor babies. Anchor babies. The birthright process. And that's what this amounts to. One of the things that has been a huge attraction for illegal immigration is the policy, the idiotic policy that this country has, that if you are from another country and you have a baby here, then that baby is an American citizen. That's insane. It's just crazy. And that's the reason we have a great number of people here. Now, there are going to be legal challenges. The courts will be forced to decide on a constitutional debate over the 14th Amendment. And that amendment says this: all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So, this is saying that if you're born or you are naturalized in the United States, you're subject to the jurisdiction of the nation and the state. And what has happened is that this has been taken advantage of, and people are having children here in order to serve as an anchor to secure their position to stay here. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's correct. You probably don't think that's right. And I think the vast majority of American citizens think that's wrong. And he's going to work to change that by executive order. It is certainly going to face court challenges. And it does seem there are some potential legal issues with a president doing this by executive order. And for one thing, the next president, if the next president is a Democrat, can reverse it. Can reverse it with the stroke of a pen, rather than being the law of the land. Well, it's going to be a bold move. Democrats are going to lose their minds. They're going to lose their cookies. They're going to go insane in the membrane. There will be a lot of gasping and clutching of pearls. A lot of hyperbole, a lot of disinformation, a lot of lies, if he does this. Either way, it's going to make waves this week before the midterm election. And I think that's key, the midterm election. We're a week away. And this announcement is most likely is intended to solidify Trump's base. Because these people voted for him chanting, build the wall, build the wall, build the wall, at rally after rally after rally. They realize how important it is to defend our nation from illegal immigrants, from people coming here just to take advantage of our system, who they know will vote against the best interests of this country because it serves their personal interests. I need to talk about that more later. But they'll go crazy. Just count on it. It's going to happen. this is a this particular announcement at this particular time, I believe, is intentional and is designed. Because he knows his base is upset about the wall progress or the lack of progress. You see people on, well, you see people on social media like I do, people who are high profile, people like Ann Coulter, who just keep pounding on it. Where's the wall? Where's the wall? Thought you were going to get it done. Where's the wall? Well, he has met opposition at every turn on both sides of the aisle. You've got progressive Democrats and progressive Republicans who are both standing against him to keep him from building the wall. Even though money's been appropriated, things are, you know, the progress has been made, a section of it has been built, more is starting to happen, but it's taken a couple of years. And it's moving slowly. But that's what it's like when you're dealing with government. They don't do anything quickly unless it's to their advantage, on the whole, to get reelected. And how sad is that? But at this point in time, making an announcement like this, I believe the intent is to show the Trump voter base that he is still serious about taking care of this problem. That's another reason he's sending troops to the border. He's serious about ending this problem. If we can't have a physical wall, we'll have a military wall at the border. So,
okay.
Thank you, Siri. I said seriously, and my phone heard Siri. But that at this time, that's what's happening. The timing is key because we have an election coming up. And I don't know that it is manipulation, but I do know it's important that President Trump signifies, that he demonstrates to his base, to the voters, to the people who put him in office, that he, in spite of everything that has happened, is still serious about border security, is still serious about stopping the Democrats from padding their voter base. And if you think that's ridiculous, then just go look at California, because already in California, in San Francisco in particular, in that area, illegals are already being allowed to vote with regard to schools and education. These are people who are in our nation illegally. They broke the law to get here. So they're federal criminals. And they're still allowed to vote in matters in their town regarding education. You may think that's petty. I think it's disastrous. I think it's a sign of the mentality of the left. They want these illegal immigrants here, and they want them to be forgiven of their transgressions, and they want them to be granted citizenship and full rights, because they know that if that happens, that these people will vote to continue the gravy train that they're on right now. They will vote to get more money from the government, and they will vote for the people who will give it to them. And who are those people? They're Democrats. So, this conflict at the border boils down to votes. That's what it's all about. We know that the Democrats want these people here just for power and control. It's not compassion. It's not for their good. It's for power and control. Because they know that if they cross the border and get citizenship, they will vote Democrat for the rest of their lives. This is the Daily Perspective. You are listening to the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, driving the big rig. And hopefully you're having a great day so far. We're just about done here, just a few minutes left. But before we wrap up, how about we get into something ridiculous? All right? It's about time. I don't know if you can count this as being ridiculous or disgusting. Maybe a little bit of both. Kathy Griffin, pardon me while I shudder, the comedian who pulled the stunt with the fake severed head of Donald Trump in the photograph and disgusted America. She's at it again. She's making her living. She's making her living by allowing Donald Trump to live rent-free in her head. Pretty much. And how is the latest? What is the latest thing from her? Well, she's selling products on her website. Trump products. Actually, it's F. Trump products is what it is. So you can buy coffee cups, T-shirts, things like that. And the latest thing? Christmas ornaments. She says, all right, you ask, and here it is. I added the F. Trump holiday ornament. That's what she tweeted over the weekend. Get both. Apparently, you bundle it with something else. Get both for $25. Reminder, there will be a limited run of these ornaments. Order here. And I'm not going to give you the address. If you want that, then get the show notes. In addition to Christmas ornaments, she's selling coffee mugs, T-shirts, bumper stickers, and the like. All of them adorned with the graphic Trump message. And the word is not just F, it's the whole word. And she also hawks products calling for the impeachment of the U.S. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Her tweets caught the attention of a journalist, Laura Loomer, who sent a message to Twitter, to the founder of Twitter, Jack Dorsey. Hey, Jack, how is this not a violation of your terms of service? I thought Twitter had policies against hateful conduct. You just banned John Guandolo because he spoke out about the left-wing Jew hatred, but you're allowing Kathy to post hateful conduct? Looks like bias to me. Guandolo is the former FBI agent hired by police in Arizona to provide training on Muslim threats. He was suspended by Twitter after posting a message suggesting Democrats were responsible for the shooter at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh who killed 11 Jewish worshippers. His tweet said, shooter in Pittsburgh, Robert Bowers, is a product of the Marxist Party of America's call for violence. In parentheses, Democrats. Remember, Nazis were socialists, leftists. Remember, the KKK is a Democrat organization. Hashtag ban Democrats, he wrote in the tweet, which has been deleted. And there have been some comments, of course, reacting to the obscenity. The obscene presidential sales tactics. One says, well, nothing says happy holidays like the F-bomb. How sad. And somebody else says, there must be a special place in hell reserved for Kathy Griffin. She makes a mockery of everything spiritual and now offers this ornament of hatred. This ornament's not Christmassy, but represents Christmas, the birth of our Savior. Can't imagine this makes God happy. And my favorite one is, you must really have the hots for Trump, as he does all the libs ordering these, totally obvious, you all love strong, decisive men. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in your thoughts constantly. Like I said, Donald Trump is living rent-free in Kathy Griffin's head all the time. And she's not the only one. The Hollywood left has gone nuts. Just gone nuts. And this may change your mind about your viewing habits on Thursday evenings, or maybe your DVR programming. Viewers who tuned in for the October 25th episode of The Big Bang Theory, called The Imitation Perturbation, were treated to more than the story arc of the week, which was the feud surrounding these couples. They were impersonating each other for Halloween. It was kind of meh. Those who watched until the very last second may have noticed a very political vanity card for Chuck Lorre's productions that blasted President Trump as a fascist, hate-filled, fear-mongering, demagogic, truth-shattering, autocratic golf cheater. Now, in case you're not aware of this, you see this pop up at the very end of every Chuck Lorre production. It's a card. It's a white screen with a bunch of typed text on it. And it says at the top, Chuck Lorre Productions, and there will be a number. He's actually got all of them listed online. You can go read all of them. Some of them are breathtakingly funny. Some of them are just incredibly clever. And it's become sort of an insider cult thing to DVR the show, to pause that thing, that particular second of the show, because it's just up there. Just like that. It's up there for less than a second, like 15 frames. And read it, because very often they're very clever witty, very funny. This one, number 598, says this. God, parentheses, I call you that even though I suspect thou art well beyond names and words and might actually be some sort of ineffable quantum situation, end quote. I humbly beseech thee to make thy presence known on November 6th. Demonstrate your omnipotence through us as we make ink marks on little circles in curtained booths. Of course, if you, in your divine wisdom, believe a fascist, hate-filled, fear-mongering, demagogic, truth-shattering, autocratic golf cheater is what we need right now, then, you know, thy will be done. But if thou art inclined to more freedom, more love, more compassion, and just more of the good stuff thou hath been promoting in our hearts or our parietal lobes, either one, doesn't really matter, I submissively ask that thy encourage voter turnout in that general direction. Also, God, please help Bob Mueller. Guide him and make him strong, brave, wise, and true. And yes, I know there must be thousands of guys named Bob Mueller, but so why not help them all? Just to be on the safe side. Amen. Oh, almost forgot. Remind those who collaborate with the darkness that thou art the light, and the light is not above whipping out a little Old Testament wrath. Amen again. Whew. Chuck Lorre is the creator of The Big Bang Theory and its spin-off prequel, Young Sheldon. Both shows feature atheist and anti-religious commentary from Sheldon Cooper, making it, in a way, ironic that Lorre would call upon God. He's not calling on God. He's mocking God. Let's not miss the point here. This is mockery. The Vanity card does not mention Donald Trump by name, though it leaves nothing to the imagination that he is the fascist, hate-filled, fear-mongering, demagogic, truth-shattering, autocratic golf cheater Lorre is referring to. It also suggests that Trump cannot be one who promotes more freedom, more love, more compassion, and just more of the good stuff. Now, this is not the first time he's used the show to spout off against Trump in those vanity cards, although not by name. In vanity card number 541 from November 3rd of 2016, he mocked the Make America Great Again slogan as, quote, a bumper sticker for victimhood, and said, quote, Big Daddy can't save us. Our salvation lies within ourselves. Adding more irony to how in the more recent vanity card he would call upon God. And as I said before, he's not calling upon God. He's just being, I'm just going to say it, he's just being a smartass. That's what he's doing. Let's see, in his vanity card number 559 from May 4th of last year, 2017, he mocked The Apprentice's ratings as if television ratings had anything to do with foreign policy achievements. Quote, defeat terrorism and crazy dictators? He couldn't even defeat 2.5 men. So if you have any illusions that the Hollywood left is anything but Marxist, socialist, progressive, please throw that vanity away. Throw that imagination away. These people care about one thing, and they really don't know what that is. They just believe the promises of the liars on the left who are assuring them that they will get all the good stuff. All that love, warm feelings, the good stuff, they're not going to get that. Just look at every nation where it's been tried before. It's going to fail. Hey, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next time here on The Daily Perspective.